Blog Talk Radio.
Italian songs. It's Saturday in the park and the gang is all back. It's the Eternal Bum podcast hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, Ralph Williams, Joe Cuklis in Pittsburgh, Avi Greenwald in Miami, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, it goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Powered now by Mancini Media. So as we lay the groundwork down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Ralph, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, there's a lot to talk about in 30 minutes, my friend.
Yes, there is. And, there is. Thank you, Mark, and good morning to all. Thank you for tuning in or listening this morning. And you can get a hold of me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and also I have my own YouTube channel as well. So go ahead, Joe.
I'm really easy to find. You can go to draft412.com, where we discuss things that are relevant to the 412, in particular with draft prospects, salary caps, possible trades, free agent signings, and things that are for the Steelers, the Pirates, and the Penguins. But I also talk about on Blog Talk Radio here. I started my new show last week called Draft Nation, and we talk nationally about all four major sports and draft implications throughout the year.
Avi?
Well, I'll tell you, man, there's a lot to talk about. You can find me all over the place. XM Sirius, WWDB, AM860 out of Philadelphia. And across this great platform with all you great guys on Saturday mornings.
You can find me easily, obviously, on Facebook and Facebook and Twitter. If you want to reach me, you can get me at GreenwaldAviel@gmail.com as well. I'll be covering the Heat, Magic, the Miami Dolphins, Jacksonville Jaguars. If you have any questions, you have any updates, just check on me and we'll see what we're putting out there.
Okay, let's get this going this morning here. First, I want to I have a couple new sponsors here. We're now being sponsored by Let's Talk Sports. I just worked that out yesterday. Also, our studio sponsors, First Line Consulting Services. Call 1-800-1877-926-6982 for a website. If you need a website built and you also want it built and then you pay a low monthly payment where they manage it and upload all your videos for you, do anything you need done, First Line Consulting Services. Call them today, 1-877-926-6982. And I want to introduce our new sponsor to the show, Sleep Pittsburgh down in Homestead, PA, here in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area, right by the waterfront. Call 412-462-7858. And I got to tell you, Sleep Pittsburgh, they not only have, they have day beds, they have lift chairs, they have recliners, they have beds. Look, I called yesterday because I need to get a new bed. And what happened was when I called, they were very nice with me on the phone. And get this, everybody, they do instant financing with you right on the phone. You can place your order on the phone. You can get on their website and place an order. And they have no credit check financing. So call them today if you need a bed or of any kind or anything. And the prices are very, very reasonable. You will not have to take out a loan to get a bed at Sleep Pittsburgh. I got a memory foam king-size mattress, and I got to tell you what, man, it's great. Sleep Pittsburgh, call them again, 412-462-7858, new sponsor to the show. All right, we can get this started. I'm going to get started with my bum for this morning's show. John Cognar, he played from 1875 to 1929. He only batted 118 in his whole career. He's a bum. John Peter Cognar played baseball. He played Cleveland Broncos and Naps back in the day. So that's my bum for the day. We could talk a little bit about the Pirates schedule coming up for next year. And it's an interesting schedule. They play the Boston Red Sox at home. And it's really we'll see what the Pirates do next year. Next year is supposed to be the year that the Pirates are supposed to be really great. And we're going to find out how this goes. So, all right. So we'll talk about that today. And I have a special report that I just received today to get away from baseball a little bit. Tennessee Volunteers have been slapped with an $8 million fine for violations from when Jeremy Pruitt was coach. Some players received the money under the table that they were not supposed to or something to that effect, and they violated a bunch of rules. No full elimination or no postseason play has been eliminated, but they've been fined hefty $8 million for violations. And also today is my wife's birthday. Today I want to wish her a happy birthday. And also Carnell Lake, former Steeler, 56 years old, his birthday is today as well. All right, let's go from there, guys.
Well, Ralph, I'd love to say first, pass along birthday wishes to your wife. She's a saint. She has to put up with you every day, and I don't know how she does it. So, tell her I said that I'll light a candle for her, and hold my own vigil in her honor. but Ralph, getting back to the Pirates, it's going to be interesting as we come up against that August 1st trade deadline. I know that you mentioned before the Pirates, next year might be that emergent year for them. This year looks like they're going to be sellers instead of buyers, unless there's a real deal out there that has, term that's attached to it. I think this year they may want to sell. I think a guy like Rich Hill, who could provide value at depth for a competing team. I know there's been rumors swirling about McCutchen and the interest of the Texas Rangers. Nutting and Pirates management have already come out and said, look, we're not going to move him unless he wants to be moved. Andrew doesn't want to be moved. But, maybe if that opinion changes the next couple of weeks and he wants to chase a ring and then come back after to finish his career here. I think that regardless, I think the Pirates want him to be here next year. I think he wants to be here next year. So that'll be a pure rental, which is probably in their best interest. I know that's a bit of an upheaval personally for a guy like Kutch, and you might not want to do that. But I think that, the Pirates, I hate to say it because he's a big Pittsburgh guy, guy from the North Hills, big closer. People love him around here as Bednar. He might be the piece that they can move to get something back for that can impact this team in years to come. And, I might be wrong. Maybe they hold on to him. Maybe they see him as a piece to a long-term puzzle and, being sort of like that Wilson kind of guy, the local star that made good and, they want to have him here. But I think that he might have the most value on the team. And the Pirates have done a pretty good job over the last decade under varying regimes. To fill in voids at that reliever spot. So, I see in no way them being buyers unless they get that outrageous opportunity to bring someone that has term on their contract. I think this year they are sellers. Looking forward to next year. I don't know if they're going to be great next year. They'll be better. I think this team is maybe 2 years away. I think it's a 2025 team where they're making a run, but I think we'll see more out of them. And if they can add a couple of pieces to the puzzle at the deadline to help them do that in the near term, I think that's really kind of like the play for them there. And I know there's plenty of other teams out there that are going to be buyers, and maybe Mark can get kind of allude to that nationally or some other places too, or maybe even comment on the Pirates. I'll throw it over to you, Mark.
Yeah, and when you look at it, I think at 41-50, the great thing about the Pirates is they're only 8.5 games off, and the second half just started last night. So the back-and-forth game with the Giants yesterday, I think, I would stand pat. I wouldn't get rid of pieces. I mean, you see they had the number one pick in Skeens there. We talked about that, who they were going to go after. They got a guy to fit the city. And I think, with these pieces, they're only going to take their lumps and they're going to get better. They're in a pace. They say that they can improve by at least 10 games. I think this team is still within striking distance. I don't think the Reds and Brewers can play, you know, the baseball they were playing in the second half that they played in the first half. So I think the one team you want to watch out for, and I know they're in dead last in the division, but it's the St. Louis Cardinals. So that'll be the team I keep my eyes on. I think everybody else is pretty much within striking distance, and everybody lost pretty much last night. So that's where I look at it. But I like the Pirates to be buyers, maybe pick up another key piece, maybe a pitcher, because next year they're going to be dangerous, especially if Skeens comes into this equation. You've got Keller there. You've got Priester there. You've got some guys, man. You get a journeyman, somebody like a Hill there to compensate that fifth start. Watch out. Pittsburgh's going to be dangerous. I'm sure Avi will have something to say about the Marlins, who closed the season in Pittsburgh this year, and then the Pirates open the season next year in Miami. Go figure.
Yeah, for sure. So to touch on the NL Central for just a second, what you were talking about, you know, I do believe the Reds are starting to even keel a little bit here, about to, you know, keel out a little bit. They've been known to get hot early and to kind of shut down as the season goes and kind of just even out, not really make a run. Obviously, you said the Cardinals are notorious for making moves in the second half of the season. So it'd be very interesting to see how that Central Division race ends up. You know, the Cardinals have always been very notorious for coming back and just taking over no matter where they are at the split of the season. Also, with the Marlins need to do the same. The Marlins need to continue what they're doing. Obviously, we've got Alcantara coming back. We want to see what he looks like, if he can carry them going forward as well. They just activated Jose Cueto, so he should be coming back to the rotation. I wonder what their plans are going to be moving forward with him in the rotation as the season goes along. I definitely believe, you know, their bats have been hot, and it'd be really interesting to see if they can keep it up. But the real question is their pitching. Can their pitching lead them to the playoffs? Obviously, they're in a very tough division as well in the NL East there. But I think they have a real shot if they can continue doing what they have been doing throughout the half of the season. Maybe they can do it. Obviously, like, you know, I had mentioned with the Reds and the other teams in the Central Division, they kind of keel out. But the Marlins have been known when they've been hot to continue to go and continue being hot throughout the season. So we'll see what happens. Very interested to see what this brings.
All right, guys. I want to talk to you today about Hillcrest Farm. Hillcrest Farm is in Richmond, Ohio. And I got to tell you, they have some hay grain beef. Contact them today, 740-346-5442 or 740-632-2894. They also have an email address, hillcrestfarmsohio@gmail.com. And check out their website, www.hillcrestfarmsohio.com, and also on their Facebook page as well. We currently have 123 people on. That is great. Oh, no, now we're up to 223. Wow. We run up 100 listeners within a matter of a few minutes. And also, Crest Farm has a variety boxes, and a roast box and a ground beef box is $95, 20 pounds of hay grain beef. And they are now shipping, so get on their website and check out what they have. They have some specials on there. There's even a contest that they're doing. So go ahead and get on their website, Hillcrest Farms Ohio HillcrestFarmsOhio.com, and check that out. Hillcrest Farms, Richmond, Ohio, 45 minutes from Pittsburgh, right up the hill from Steubenville, Ohio. Go check them out. Take the kids. Go for a nice little Sunday ride. Head on out there and talk to them. All right. I want to talk about the Pirates draft a little bit. I see they drafted a whole bunch of pitchers, and you never can have too many pitchers. And that's something that the Pirates have lacked for a while now. Their bullpen is horrible. They need to get some of these young pitchers in here. I'm hoping Paul Skeens can come up maybe next year or the year after, and they don't keep him held down there for 8 years like they've done with some of these other guys. So, and I'm hoping that some of these pitchers and these fielders can help. I was a little frustrated. I thought they were going to stick with the college end of everything, but they ended up drafting somebody from a high school And I'm really not into the, you know, the high school athletes as much. I see LSU had some players. They had a very great, they had a great baseball team. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Joe, you want to talk to everybody about Draft 412, our other sponsor here?
Yeah, sure. So Draft 412 is a localized sports e-magazine that focuses on the Pittsburgh region, the Pirates, the Steelers, and the Penguins, and their upcoming and current draft needs. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Appreciate the ability to kind of plug that, Ralph. Thank you very much for that. And then following up what you said, Ralph, I mean, this past weekend, as everybody knows, there was a big baseball draft. You know, I think that, you know, since you've talked about the Pirates, I'll talk about everybody else in the NL Central. The Cincinnati Reds made a really interesting pick. They got two pitchers, just they followed in the same footsteps as the Pirates. And overall, their seventh overall, it's a guy named Rhett Lauder, who played at Wake Forest, had a great season. I think Cincy did pretty well in the draft. I think that the Reds fans have got to be happy with Lauder. Here's a guy that's already sort of a polished starting pitcher out of Wake. They, like LSU, had a great run this past year, could have won it all. And he's got a nice quality, low 90s fastball, you know, and likely the best changeup in the class. So I think the Reds at number seven probably got one of the next best pitchers in the draft. I think the Cubs went in a direction. I think the Pirates the Pirates have like 12 shortstops. They can't stop drafting them and trading them. But the Cubs here might have got the one of the best of the bunch in Matt Shaw from Maryland. This is a kid here that will likely move from short to play second in the pros. Good batter at the plate, though. He's a kind of like the top of the order hitter that could be a table setter for these guys. The Cubbies moving forward. So if you're a Chicago fan, you're looking at a guy that down the road can both steal you 20 bags and also potentially hit you 20 home runs. He might not have the arm and the range to play short in the majors, but that's okay. Everybody needs a second baseman too. And I think Shaw plugs in right there. I think the Brewers, on the other hand, they got another guy from Wake Forest. Imagine that. They went out and got a third baseman and Brock Wilken. Wilken is a guy here at 18 that is one of the best power hitters in college ball. I mean, he hit 31 home runs, had a 506 on-base percentage. This is a guy that is an above-average third baseman in the field. He also has the kind of arm that you can move him. If they don't want to keep him at the hot corner, they can put him on right field. He's got some positional flexibility, to use a Tomlinism there for Steeler fans. And I think the Brewers are going to be happy with a guy like Wilken falling to him or falling to them at 18. And then Avi mentioned the Cardinals before. Cardinals always do well in the draft, one of the premier organizations in MLB. And they went out and got a guy named Chase Davis, who's an outfielder from Arizona. And most of us, me included, didn't have Chase Davis listed in as a first-round pick in our mock draft over at Draft 412. I think he started to fly up the boards later as they had their combine, and he had a much improved junior season. And is one of these guys that could be a five-tool guy in the pros. He hit 21 homers. He batted 362. He walked more than he struck out. And he's projected to play center field. He's got the speed to stick there if they want him to do that, but I also think he could play any position in the outfield, and they might have gotten a steal there, even though you might not have seen him, especially in the printed mags. You might not have seen him in some of those MLB prospect mags in the first round, but I think the Cardinals, as an organization, they know what they're doing, and I think they might have gotten a steal with this guy after they saw his results at the combine. So just wanted to follow up on that, and Avi, maybe you want to talk about the guys over at the Marlins.
Avi, you there?
Marlins, you know, I'm not really on top of exactly what the names of the guys that the Marlins picked up, but I know that they had a few good picks. I just don't have it in front of me. I'm sure that I had heard something that the Marlins had really gotten some good solid picks, and we're going to be doing well with them. So we'll see what happens as well. I don't have the names in front of me right now. I apologize about that.
Okay, well, more or less, when you look at what Joe brought, you know, I couldn't have said it any better, but the one thing that stood out is the high school guys that you know, that were picked up in this draft. To me, it's a run of the mill here. I don't, you know, depending on what Detroit was looking at here on their third pick, that kid out of Indiana, I don't know what they're seeing because the kid hasn't developed. Yeah, you could rack up some of these bottom feeders in high school and you could be the best guy, but you start to go through the college ranks and in the, you know, the organizational, climbing the ladder to get to the pros, that's a whole different ball game, and we've seen this before. So I think Detroit made a big mistake, and Texas realized it, stole Langford from Florida. The kid I really liked, and I'll be totally honest, and you knew where I was going to go with this, was Dylan Cruz. But when he wanted $10 million, the Pirates weren't going to give him. This kid is a five-tool guy as well as the generational guy that Pittsburgh selected in Skeens. I think Cruz will be another Bryce Harper. The problem is you're not going to see that in Pittsburgh. They're not going to give that kind of money. And I don't think he'll last in Washington. I think he'll stay there. And when his free agency comes up or whatever, you know, arbitration, we'll find out if Washington can step up to the plate or balk like they did with Bryce Harper. Ralph?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Mark. You know, these young kids that come in here, then they command all this money. And then you got agents like Scott Boras and all that stuff playing games with people, you know, picking and choosing what teams he wants his clients to be involved in as well. I want to talk to you today about DJ Fund. Call DJ Fund today, 412-545-4317, if you need a DJ for a party, wedding, or a special event. And, again, you will not. All my sponsors, you don't have to take out a loan to do any business with my sponsors because I make it that way. So DJ Fund is the same way. All right, there's DJs out there, and I say this time and time again. I've only been doing it 3 months, 6 months. They want thousands of dollars for a four-hour party. Not DJ Fund. Give them a call today, 412-545-4317. All right, guys, I have a top 10 real quick, and I know it's not baseball, but it's football, and you know I like my top 10. So the top 10 worst college football stadiums. All right, let's start with the Alamo Dome at number 10. Number 9, Vanderbilt's stadium. Number 8, Akron Zips Infectious Stadium, whatever, however that's there. Number 7, the Cajun Field for the University of Louisiana Lafayette. Kelly Short Stadium for Central Michigan. Rice Stadium, number 5. Number 4, UB Stadium for the University of Buffalo, and San Jose State at number 3, Spartan Stadium. At number 2, University of Louisiana Monroe, who is now coached by Terry Bowden. And at number 1, Kibbe Dome in Idaho for the University of Idaho. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, yeah, to take off of that there, Ralph, I think that I have one stadium that is the worst stadium, and it could be on all 10. If I had my 10 through number 1, is that stadium in the middle of Columbus that looks like a horseshoe, and they wear that god-awful red and pretend silver. I don't even mention the team. To the south, I mean, I will not dignify these airwaves with the name of that team. But let's just say that that's just a dump. That's my 1 through 10, and I'll leave it at that. But you know, speaking of college football, hey, look, we're about a month away from the kickoff. I know, Ralph, many of your listeners are listeners of southwestern Pennsylvania, so I'll stick on a theme here, and I'll throw something out that we haven't talked about since I've been on any of your shows, and that's West Virginia. West Virginia this year not only has the backyard brawl in Morgantown. They get the chance to seek some revenge after the Panthers beat them at Heinz Field last year before it was called Acrisure, I think. And they also renew their rivalry with Penn State. So if you're a Mountaineer fan, you get a chance to kind of really come back in the same year. Now, I don't know what kind of year these guys are going to have. They had a lot of transfers, a lot of changeover. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they can do. But that's a high-flying team. It's always going to be a fun team to watch. But they start out their season with two of their four games against their natural rivals in both Pitt and Penn State, which I think will be a lot of fun for Mountaineer fans, especially being so far away from that Penn State rivalry for way too many years. And then with the rivalry restarting, that backyard brawl with Pitt last year, what a great game. Just a lot of fun to kind of be there and watch that as it went down. And, of course, Narduzzi, at the end of it, throwing ESPN under the bus for saying that the Mountaineer fans are going to take over the stadium, and it was 75% Pitt. It was just those lovely hatred rivalries that so many of these conference realignments have laid waste to. It's just so nice to see some of them coming back, even if they're for a limited time. Like Pitt and Penn State a couple of years ago, they had that four-game series back-to-back, and now the backyard brawl's back for the next 4 years, and they're going to renew that then. And you get them in these you get them at like Pitt, Penn State volleyball, or you get Pitt, West Virginia in basketball and things like that. But it's always nice to see these guys on the gridiron. And before I pass it to you, Mark, I want to mention one thing about Paul Skeens, because I know you mentioned it a little earlier. Yes, I am on your bandwagon. I think the Pirates should have taken Dylan Cruz. It's really hard to argue against the Skeens pick in the sense that he's so good. They had their choice between a generational fielder, a guy that was going to play 150 games for them, and a generational pitcher who might be the next Steven Strasburg. Everybody's using that as a point of comparison. I think it's well-founded. This guy's 6'6". He's a fireballer. He's throwing over 100 miles an hour, dominant at LSU. There was some talk about him playing both ways because he had such a good hitter when he was playing at Air Force. But when he got to LSU, he just concentrated on the pitching, and his pitching blew up. I mean, he's really, really what I think the Pirates are looking for there. And, Ralph, as you mentioned earlier, the Pirates won, I think, 9 out of their top 11 picks were pitchers. And then they continued that streak on day two and, grabbed a bunch more in that rounds 11 through 20 there. So, I honestly think that, yes, I would have gone Cruz too. I'm on that ship with you, Mark. I think the Pirates should have taken a Cruz. But Skeens is a real nice consolation pick when it comes to somebody that could be your ace in the rotation for the next 10 years. So, I know that you and I are disappointed in that, but I'd love to hear your comments on it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think if they had the money and it was a big market, they probably would have went. But, teams are picking – guys that fit the city that are going to be there long term, and I think, when you look at Skeens, he'll fit the city of Pittsburgh. He's a two-way generational type of a player. He can hit with average. He can pitch, and I just think, if this was a Kumar Rocker type of thing, where they balked a few years ago and took Henry Davis, they probably would have went after Dylan Cruz and rolled the dice. But I don't think they like to deal with Scott Boras too much, and not a lot of teams do. So that's my thought on that. As you give it back to you, Ralph, boy, 30 minutes goes by quick.
Yes, it does. It always does. And we have 302 listeners to wrap up today. I thank everyone for listening. And don't forget to listen next Saturday and every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for the External Bump podcast. We have our guests today were Avi Greenwald and Joe Kuglis. And, of course, Mark Mancini down there in L.A. and myself here in Pittsburgh along with Joe. So you can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And also I have my stuff on my YouTube channel, including our radio show that Smoke and Jim and I do on Beaver County Radio every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. We're also on live on their Facebook page and on their YouTube channel during the show. This coming Tuesday, we have J.B. Ellis from Sideline Sports. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about the draft as a whole in the baseball draft. And then I have Mark Perry coming on from the USFL to discuss next year's season. So we have two great guests coming on this week. And next week on the 25th, we have a summit. I'm working on getting a reporter or somebody from Penn State, West Virginia, and Pitt, as Joe mentioned, to get started with the college football season. Go ahead, Joe.
Again, Ralph, thank you very much for having us on. Anybody who wants to check out my site at draft412.com, I'd appreciate it. You can reach me at joe@draft412.com if you have any questions, and you can sign up for our free newsletter there or become a premium subscriber to get past the paywall and see some of the good prospect articles. Avi?
Yeah, nice and easy for you. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at greenwaldavi@gmail.com if you have any questions. any updates you'd like to see on what's going down here with Florida sports, just let me know. Follow me. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
The two in Pittsburgh, Joe and Avi and Sandy, well, I'm going to be in San Diego next week, so I'm getting ahead of myself there. In Miami, we'll be back again on next week. Stay tuned at the bottom of the hour, the Doc Talk podcast with Dr. Greg Roscoe, and then the debut at 1 p.m. Pittsburgh time, The Realm with J.V. Hilliard. So that's going to be a good one. C.R. Rice, Scott Alexander Clark, the author of Duchess and the Accidental Thief, will be on that one. Till then, catch this archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports and all the podcast platforms. Have a great one, guys. Thanks for listening.